Is it true?
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day, Brevard County. Welcome to Tuesday, and we pray that you are having a grand and glorious day and that the Spirit of the Lord is working inside of you. Pray that you are refreshed in your spirit. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so I pray today that you will give a good word to someone and that God will give a good word to you and you will be all the better for it. So today I want to tell you this coming Sunday, my wife and I, we're going to be having a Sunday for a family event. We got a new grandbaby earlier this year. Actually, we got two new grandbabies earlier this year. One of them is being dedicated to the Lord at the church in which they serve this week. And so my wife and I, we're going to be out of our normal routine, and we're going to go up and celebrate the goodness of God and what He has done. And we're going to go and be a part of that celebration. We'll only be gone for Sunday, and then we will be back soon. So this weekend we have one of our missionaries that is going to be with us and sharing the Word of God, and the church is going to be in good hands. It's not the first time I've ever been away, and hope it's not the last. there was 1 year. I will tell you this. There was 1 year where there were 53 Sundays in the year, and I was at church 52 of those Sundays and came in second place. There was one person that did not miss a Sunday the entire year, and that was back in the days where we just didn't have much of a support system around. We've had to build everything that needed to be built, and so I look forward to those times we get away. You know, people ask me, well, what do you think about this church? I said, I'm normally working on Sunday, so I don't know what they do. Every church that I've ever been at, they tend to, you know, have a very similar template, but not all of them do. But this coming Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God, there will be Sunday school. There will be a missionary preaching the Word, and then there won't be a Sunday night service. So that's what's going on. So pray for us as we travel. We got to travel one of my least favorite roads right now to get up there, and so that's, you know, but it's worth it to watch a grandbaby and the parents dedicate themselves to raising that child the way God wants that child to be raised. So, and we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 11 today. We're talking about the limitation of united opposition to God's will. And Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1, we'll start reading where we were yesterday, and then we'll pick up with verse number 5. Says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So, we had talked last week that these people had one language, they had one speech, they were all journeying in the same direction, they all found a place that was comfortable for them, that they wanted to dwell there, and they began to manufacture for themselves what they would use for provision to accomplish something out of their own merit rather than what God had provided for them. They said, we want to do this for us. We don't want to do this for God. We want to make our own way to heaven, not necessarily the way that God chooses. We want to make a name for ourselves instead of the name of God being glorified. And we are doing this not in faith. We are doing this in fear because we don't want to be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So everything is moving in one direction. There is tremendous synergy as these people are working together and speaking together. And verse number 5 has this huge word, and it is the word B-U-T, but. And it says here, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. I remember hearing something as someone had studied the wisdom of ancient Rome, and they said if Rome had not fallen apart, that man may have reached the moon 1,000 years before we actually got there. I don't know about that, but I do know this. God causes kingdoms to rise and fall. He always has, and he always will. God is the one that causes kingdoms to rise and fall. And if a country gets apart, if they set themselves in opposition to God instead of pursuing God, then things are not going to go well for that, whether that is an individual, whether it is a family, whether it is a community, whether it's a nation, it's not going to go well. So we need to make sure that we do not try and accomplish in our own merit, in our own strength, things that we have desires for. Instead, we need to do what God wants. So one of the things that I like to do for relaxation is I like to golf. And I like to golf. I've had conversations with people, and they said, I just don't understand the purpose of hitting a little white ball all around a cow pasture and then going and chasing after it. I said, you miss the point of golf altogether. And the reason that I enjoy golfing is I can hit something as hard as I want and I don't have to repent for it. As long as I don't take things so seriously, then it doesn't impact me. I'm out on God's creation. I'm enjoying the beautiful scenery. I'm getting to enjoy the animals in their natural habitat, and I get to test my own skill. And so I find that very relaxing. But there have been times when I thought that going golfing would provide me the quote-unquote rest that I needed, as in I needed some time with Jesus, and I thought that if I went and played golf, that physical activity would provide what I was needing in my mind, my will, or my emotions. And you know what? It did exactly the opposite. You know what I actually needed? I needed to spend time with Jesus. And so I learned from that lesson a long, long time ago. And so if I find that the fruits of the Spirit are beginning to not manifest in my life, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the patience, when I find that those things are not manifesting in my life, I don't look to golf anymore to provide those things. I say, you know what I need? I need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to spend some time in worship. I need to spend time in the Word. And that changes the atmosphere. It is a God provision. The Sabbath, the church, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, salvation, all of those are God's provisions to help us accomplish the purpose that He wants for us in our lives. God comes down and examines the things of man. There are a lot of people who live their life as if there is no accountability and no inspection by God. And I want you to know that that is a mistake. We have to give account to God for the things that we do. We have to give account to God for the things that we don't do. To him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. We have to give account to God for the things that we give. We have to give account to God for the things that he's made us stewards over. We have to give an account to God for the words that come out of our mouth. We have to give an account to God for the thoughts and the intent that we have going on in our life. There is tremendous accountability. And so just like he did at the Tower of Babel, he's going to come again for you and I, and he's going to inspect to see, are we living for our glory or are we living for his? Are we living in faith or are we living in fear? The just shall live by faith. So I can tell you that I've talked to people and they said, look, I cannot afford to do this. And my response is, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. But yet there are still people who are trying to do it and they have missed the bountiful blessing that God could have added to their life for doing life the way that God wanted. So when it says, but God came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built, I don't want you to just read that and say, well, that's a nice sentence. I want you to see that he's no respecter of persons, and he's going to examine our lives and whether or not we've accepted Jesus is the first examination. If we have accepted Jesus, then everything that we have done is going to be tried by fire. And some of it is going to be consumed as wood, hay, and stubble. Others of it is going to be refined and come forth shining like pure gold and true spiritual wealth. So God comes down and examines the situation, and he says, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. I want to flip this from a negative examination to a promise that God makes in observation to the way that the people were operating. Okay? So here's what it said. The people are one. What would happen if there was not strife and discord, but there was one single solitary goal that everybody in a family or a church or a community was striving after? It would be done. John F. Kennedy set the course for the space program, and he set an impossible goal except for a nation got united behind it, and that was to put a man on the moon within 10 years. And we went from being behind in the space race to actually accomplishing a tremendous technological feat at great cost, but it was something that when there began to be focus and priority, it came to pass. I think that there is a lot that the church can do. See, there was somebody that wanted to criticize a church and said, look, I got no problem. I got no problem with that. If that's what that church needs to accomplish the mission that God has given them, God bless them. Go for it. Go for it. I believe that we need to come to that place where we can set aside our agenda and we can embrace God's agenda, not just as an individual, but as a community. As a community. So Merit Assembly of God has historically been very active in community. We used to cancel our Sunday night services to go to special Sunday night service events in the community. And then you know what happened? We found out that there were very, very few who ever reciprocated. And that was, you know, I'll be honest with you, that was disturbing. It God and I had some serious conversations about what is this all about? And you know, when I confronted some of the pastors about that, they said, "Look, I'm never going to attend anything at your church." It's like, "Well, why not?" "Well, I'm just too busy." So this last weekend there was a men's event at our sister church on Merit Island, River of Life Assembly of God. There was a men's event, so we set aside our men's event for the month of July and made their men's event for the month of July our men's event for the month of July. It was just something that we could do. And so God comes down and he says, a people who are one, who speak the same language, and they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So there's one more little nugget in there that I want to touch on, and that is, and they begin to do. That's in verse number 6 there. They all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Sooner or later, you've got to start. Sooner or later, you've got to stop procrastinating, and you've got to get up, and you've got to take the first step. I don't know if you have ever been so surrounded by projects that need to be done in order for you to accomplish your objective, and you look around and you say, "I don't even know where to start." Well, I can tell you, if you're going to build a building, you've got to have the appropriate foundation. And from what I have seen in the past, I don't know that that's, you know, I'm not an architect, but I've been told that you've got to go down deep, as deep as you want to go up. They're trying to build something up to the heavens, so they had better go really, really deep and establish a solid foundation, or they were going to have the Leaning Tower of Pisa before the Leaning Tower of Pisa, okay? And so God may have already told you something to do, and you haven't started it. Some of you may have started it and hit a rough patch and did like I did and said, "Okay, I think that might be good enough," and God's coming back and saying, "No, it's not. Starting isn't good enough. I want you to finish that as well." So you have to get started. You have to get started, so let's don't make an excuse. And he said, nothing will be withheld from them. Now, I want to put that not in the perspective of the Tower of Babel, but what about the kingdom of God? If God's people had the one objective of accomplishing God's purpose for God's glory, and we got started, and God said, nothing's going to be withheld from you. What could be accomplished if nothing was going to be withheld from us? I think that is a verse, a truth from God's word that is there that many of us need to grasp hold of. So it says, "Come, let us go down there." Now we're back to the negative aspects of disobedience. "Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." I tell you, as I was going through this, that first of all, the devil is not creative. The devil is a counterfeiter. He just takes the strategies that he's seen God use, and he tries to put them into use in his own for his own purposes. God wants to set us up to succeed. The devil wants to set you up to fail. So God used to walk with man in the garden. The serpent comes along and says, "Well, you know, I'll have a conversation with him a little earlier in the day." And God wants to tell him the truth. I'm gonna tell him lies. And here in this place, the end of the project came about when they no longer spoke the same thing and they no longer understood one another. So here's the what was quickened in my spirit. How's the language barrier in your home, in your house, in your workplace? How well do you speak and how well do you understand? He says, a confused language and a lack of understanding will derail any project that is not of God. So the enemy will come in and he will try and get division where there's supposed to be unity. He will try and create a language barrier where none existed before. And he will try and get people to say, "I just don't understand what they are trying to say." Okay, so since as long as there have been men and women, there have been difficulties in communicating to a large extent because we just don't speak the same way, we don't understand the same way, and nobody's willing to apply themselves to actually understanding one another. Guys, let me just tell you this. In Ephesians, before it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands," it also says, "Submit to one another." And that word submission means to live under mission. So at the church, I'm the pastor. My wife has never been paid a dime for the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that she has served at the church. She's never complained about that. She just continues to pour in. She's worn every hat that needed to be worn. And there was a time when I said, I'm not gonna, I don't have anybody. She said, "Well, if you need somebody, my wife is very gifted as a speaker. She has a way of communicating with the ladies of our church that is greatly appreciated. But God shares with her truths from God's word that are really fascinating. And she's a soul winner. She went out and got a full-time job so that I could work at the church full-time, because at that point in time, the church didn't pay very well. So, She's just a very, very gifted woman. We've got to speak the same language. We've got to understand one another. So there was a time when I had been working and she had been a stay-at-home mom, and my store closed. It lost its lease. The company didn't know about it until the last minute. And my wife had gone out and she'd got trained and certified and was working a job, and there were two things that happened when our roles flipped, and that was she understood what it was like to go to work for 9 hours a day, and I understood the challenges that she was facing as a stay-at-home mom. of three kids. And it took us about 2 days, and all of a sudden, we not only understood one another better, we appreciated one another more. So if there's a language barrier in your house, if there's a lack of understanding, I want you not to try and solve that on your own. I want you to come to God and say, God, would you help us to understand one another? Because the home is under attack. The home is older than the church. The home is the organization that God created. It's got a high and holy calling on it, and we need to say, God, whatever you need to do in me so that we speak the same language and we have the same goals, go ahead and do it. And so God comes down, he confuses their language, and he said, I'm going to help you with your transportation issues, and he scatters them across the earth because he still wanted the earth to be filled and fruitful, and he wanted them to multiply, and he wanted them to have dominion, not just over Shinar, but he wanted them to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the animals on the land. He wanted to have dominion over the whole earth. And so today, I want to encourage you to be a part of what God's purpose is and say, I think if I do it God's way, I'm going to have a great and glorious outcome. There's a lot of promises in Genesis chapter 11 that we could learn from somebody else's mistakes if we will just take time to listen and to understand. And that is something that I think would benefit all of us a great, great deal. So anytime there's division, that means there's opportunity for unity. And so if there's division, I just want to encourage you, humble yourself and say, what do I need to change so that I can understand what is going on here? Doesn't mean that that person is going to get what they want. I believe the cure for division is unity, not in Pastor Bob getting what Pastor Bob wants, not in you getting what you want, but unity in God getting what he wants, because his plans are always better than our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Let's do it God's way. He said, I will build my church. And so we need to be speaking God's language. God bless you. You have a marvelous Tuesday, and we will see you next time right here on The Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus Christ, forever.